Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the order of preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Dr. Anne Garrido, an associate professor of homiletics at Aquinas Institute of Theology. Anne's preaching comes from somewhere above Dallas and is entitled The Reclinin' Stops Here.
A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and the people there were observing him carefully. He told a parable to those who'd been invited, noticing how they were choosing the places of honor at the table. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not recline at table in the place of honor. A more distinguished guest than you may have been invited by him, and the host who has invited both of you may approach you and say, "Give your place to this man," and then you would proceed with embarrassment to take the lowest place. Rather, when you're invited, go and take the lowest place, so that when the host comes to you, he may say, "My friend, move up to a higher position." Then you will enjoy the esteem of your companions at the table. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Then he said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors, in case they may invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to pay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." I'm reflecting with you today from 38,000 feet above sea level, from seat 16C on an American Airlines flight to Dallas. And I need to let you know, something has gone terribly wrong. You see, at this point in life, I fly enough to usually be able to get myself an exit row seat at no extra charge. But yesterday, when checking in online, the world went awry and I somehow ended up in the row behind the exit row seats, the row where your knees again bump into the person in front of you and there's less air to breathe. The woman in front of me, in the precious exit row seat with all the coveted legroom, has decided to recline her seat as if she didn't already have enough space to begin with, so that now I can't even open my laptop screen fully, and I am filled with rage. It is a surprising amount of rage, not one that I am ever aware of when I sit in the exit row seat. On those days, I tend to think it's my right to recline, if I so well please, because, I've earned that seat. And on those rare, spectacular occasions where I get bumped up into first class, I'm pretty sure I've earned that too. All those glorious warm nuts and the free snickerdoodle. When I'm sitting up there, I actually get irritated with those in group 9 who dare to try on board with a rolling carry-on. Don't they know that there is no more room for that kind of frivolity and that they're going to end up delaying the flight? But today, I'm looking up at those people in first class with a certain degree of loathing. Where we sit in life's hierarchies on any given day affects a great deal how we see the world. Unless you count the ascension, Jesus didn't fly. But he seems to have known a great deal about the way hierarchies work and how they shape the people who live in them in dangerous ways, evoking both anger and obliviousness. He could see how hierarchies create shame and entitlement, a sense of righteousness and a sense of exclusion. In his own day, hierarchies were most clearly expressed in the way that people ate meals. Where you reclined at table mattered. In today's gospel passage, he talks about the jostling people often did, not to get the exit row seating, but the entrance row seating, the seating closest to the host, where one might have possibilities for increased influence and prestige that those in the back of the banquet never have. He seems to take for granted that hierarchies exist in his society, and even though he knows that they can produce rage and all sorts of other ill will, he doesn't urge violent action to demolish them. But he does talk about playful, creative ways that the people of his time could begin to subvert them. similar to the way that he advised people to throw the Roman soldier for a loop by going 2 miles instead of one, or to turn and give the other cheek when slapped. Here Jesus says that you can turn the whole banquet status thing on its head, even when you're seated in a place where you feel without power, by focusing not on what you don't have, but what you can do. Rather than jostling to sit up front, you can go sit with those in the back of the room and make the host come find you. Geez, you can be the host and throw your own banquet and invite people who never get invited to feasts. Nobody can stop you from doing that. Turning earthly hierarchies on their head becomes a way of practicing the kingdom of God into being, a kingdom where there will be no first or last, no included or excluded, no first class and no group nine, snickerdoodles and 6 inches of extra leg space for all. It makes me wonder what kind of playful creative acts we might take as followers of Jesus today to practice the kingdom of God into being, to use whatever limited power that we do have to start parties in the back of the plane, to opt out of the ordinary rules of the game, try something different. Lots of days, like today, I find that I lack the creativity to figure out what doing something different might look like. I struggle with concrete experiments I might undertake. And today, right now, the only thing that I can think of is turning my attention away from the woman in front of me and deciding not to recline into the lap of the person who's behind me. Because when you think about it, in hierarchies, there's almost always someone sitting behind you as well as someone sitting in front of you. And I know where I want my attention to turn. Not forward, but to the person in 17C. Will he even notice that I'm keeping my chair upright? Maybe, maybe not. An airline seat ain't quite the same as a banquet table. But in my own little way, I can say, the reclining stops here.